And greetings, friends. Truly staggering prophetic events are just ahead. This world will never be the same. But beyond the gloom, beyond the prophesied great tribulation, a wonderful world will emerge. You older folks and you young people need to be preparing for this world, a world most of you have never heard about. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith discusses tomorrow's world. What will it be like? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
Last week, my friends, I spoke about the dramatic events preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it gets darkest just before the dawn, as you know. And the God of the Bible clearly reveals that soon after Christ returns, a magnificent tomorrow's world will emerge. And our young people and their children will have inspiring opportunities in that world far surpassing what is available now. Notice what your own Bible actually says. Turn with me in your Bible. Prove these things from your own Bible. Turn with me, first of all, my friends, to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading here in verse 19. The Apostle Peter was preaching, and he said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing..." Yes, eventually times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send, they talked about Christ coming all the way through the New Testament, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Notice that phrase, times of restoration, a restoring of this whole world to where, the way it ought to be, the way it was to some limited extent at the time of Adam. Times of restoration of all things which God has spoken of by the mouth of all, get this, all His holy prophets since the world began. Prophecy after prophecy has described this magnificent time. It tells us what's ahead, what's going to happen, and what the real tomorrow's world is going to be like. Something most of you have frankly never heard about, unless you're regular viewers of this program or readers of Tomorrow's World magazine. Notice in your Bible now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Dare any of you," he says in verse 1, "having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" We're going to help judge the angelic hosts. Think about that. These powerful beings, and yet they are serving us even today. As Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews, they're our servants today. And we will help judge them, guide them, manage them under Christ in tomorrow's world. How much more things that pertain to this life? Yes, that's our future. We're going to have to bring and help bring real peace and joy to this world. We're not going to float off to heaven with nothing to do. We stay right here and serve under Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ of the Bible, and help Him set up the real new world order. Think about it. We have an opportunity to bring genuine peace to a war-torn and starving world at that time. Turn with me again now to descriptions of this. Micah chapter 4. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." And of course, mountains and hills are descriptive throughout the Bible of kingdoms, big nations, small kingdoms. "And people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.'" And notice, "He will teach us His ways," a whole way of life, not just belief in the person of Christ, but we're going to learn and they're going to learn. And if we're the saints of God and the kings and priests under Christ, we will help teach these people this way of life. We shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth. What law? Some traffic law? I think you all know better than that. In the latter days, people are going to learn to obey the Ten Commandments, not just in the letter, but in the Spirit. In the Spirit, they will learn how to love God, how to love their neighbor, and a joyous, peaceful world will be set up. So we will learn the law of God and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. You see, as Christ's kingdom begins, people have to be taught that way of life. Some may resist it at first, but they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, or their modern weapons of war today. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. This talks about the individual property rights of people, and each one's going to own his own property. A time of peace, a time of joyous families, a time of rain in due season, rich crops, widespread wealth, and land ownership all over the world. God will grant those things. And when you read about the people, the starving people now in various parts of Africa, and they're in this Darfur, those concentration camps in Darfur, I think they pronounce it, terrible things we're seeing on TV right now. Literally millions of people upset, over 1 million displaced, and hundreds of them, thousands of them, tens of thousands, frankly, being murdered, raped, butchered, tortured, all this kind of things going on all over the world. And God's going to put an end to it. And we, as God's true saints, will have an opportunity to serve under the living Jesus Christ, the loving Jesus Christ, to serve, to help straighten this out. The great God will give us a gorgeous world beyond anything mankind has ever experienced. An entire society based on God's law, the law of liberty, the Ten Commandments. Frankly, the Ten Commandments are not some terrible thing, as is often pictured by some ministers. They're not some terrible burden. They're a way of life telling us how to love God, how to love our neighbor. And if every human being on earth observed the Ten Commandments, even in the letter, let alone the Spirit, there would be no war. There would be no crime. You could close down the armies, shut down most of the police forces, except for a few little old ladies directing traffic, perhaps, or helping school children across the street. That's a whole new world. You'd save billions and untold tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, in fact, and trillions, perhaps, when you think of the whole world and the amount of money that's being spent on armaments and that type of thing, a whole vast difference in the way people would live, because they would not kill, they would not steal, marriages would be happy, they would not commit adultery, they would know that marriage pictures the relationship between Christ and His church. It would be magnificent, and it is going to be magnificent in tomorrow's world. Notice Ezekiel chapter 36. Go back to the book of Ezekiel, this great prophecy now. Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 24. He says, I will take you from among the nations. He's talking to the house of Israel, as you see in verse 22, and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. You'll be clean. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Israel is the type of all nations when you understand in the Bible. And God's going to give the whole world eventually a new heart, a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. This is tomorrow's world, God's spirit, and cause you to walk in my statutes. Yes, you'll keep the Ten Commandments and even the statutes of God, as they will be spiritually understood and magnified and carried out. And that's why we need to read God's law and think about that way of life, even the statutes of God. And you will keep my judgments and do them, a whole way of life, a whole world, a new world order under Jesus Christ, though. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You'll be my people, and I will be your God. And he will clean up his people at that time, and they will loathe themselves for what they've done. And so he says in verse 32, be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Today we're getting into same-sex marriage. Today we're getting into more and more abortions, more and more crime and rottenness and drug addiction and every other thing that's wrong. And God's going to straighten that out a few years from now. He says in verse 35, so they will say this land that has become desolate or like the Garden of Eden, it will become like the Garden of Eden. It's going to be absolutely beautiful then. And the wasted, desolated, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. As God brings his people back, he's going to straighten out the problems that have come and the terrible destruction that's going to come from this coming great tribulation and the final world war. He says in verse 36, then the nations left all around you shall know that I, the Eternal, as it is, Yahweh, the ever-living one, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Eternal, have spoken it, and I will do it. No, it's not just the Jewish people, a few of them who came back in 1948 this is talking about, as some people try to make it out to be. This is all the 12 tribes of Israel coming back. Millions of people weeping as they come and finally weeping for joy as God blesses and blesses and blesses. And a whole new world order is set up. It's going to be magnificent. And that is the wonderful sunrise beyond the gloom that is just ahead. My friend, at this point, I encourage you to call or write today for one of our most helpful and encouraging booklets. It's entitled, as you see, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. This truly inspiring booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This booklet gives you biblical and historical proof of how the great God has intervened in time past and how he will soon intervene again in bringing us a genuine utopia, a magnificent world, and tomorrow's world. So call us or write us now for your free booklet. Just ask for the booklet on God's intervention. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, now back to our topic. Tomorrow's world, what will it be like? Turn again to Ezekiel 36. We were there just as we closed. I want to read again just a couple of these verses. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 35. Notice at the time of the end, he talks about the regathering of his people and how he's going to bless them and how he's going to give them tremendous wealth and beauty. He says, so they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Yes, God will cause the desolate cities of Israel to be rebuilt. Then the nations all around you shall know that I, the Eternal, have rebuilt the ruined cities and planted what was desolate. And I, the Eternal, have spoken it, and I will do it. My friends, the nations all around Israel don't believe that today. You can see that, can't you? They hate Israel. They're trying to destroy Israel. They don't believe in the God of Israel. But at that time, they will. A whole new world order will come within the vast light, within the lifetimes of the vast number of you, the great majority of you. Turn to Ezekiel 37 now, the very next chapter. And he's talking about this same time. He says in verse 21, then say to them, thus says the Eternal God, as Israel comes back, and that's our American and British descended peoples. Surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. Yes, there is a great slavery, a great captivity coming, which we've explained to you. And God's going to bring us back from that, from the nations, wherever they have gone. And I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, Judah and Israel. They shall never be divided into two kingdoms again. They'll not defile themselves. They will not be transgressing again. And then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Notice verse 24. David, my servant, shall be king over them. The ancient King David of the Bible is going to be resurrected. This is talking about the resurrection from the dead. This is not figurative. God is not dealing here in parables and so on, as people often try to say. He's talking about the resurrection. King David will be king over all Israel, as many scriptures through these passages of the latter part of Ezekiel point out. Christ will be king of kings. And under Christ, King David will be over Israel. And then under King David, as you know, as it tells you in Luke chapter 22, while the 12 apostles will each rule over one of the individual 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, a whole system of government. And tomorrow's world. It's real. It's coming, my friends. This is genuine. Notice he says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Yes, they'll learn to obey God's laws. That's why they'll have peace. They'll learn God's way of life, and they will have peace and joy. Notice back in Jeremiah now, as I read you at the very beginning of this program, in Acts chapter 3, this time of restoration has been spoken of by all the holy prophets, Peter said, since the world began. Yes, Jeremiah speaks of this time also. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50, and beginning in verse 4, speaking of this very time. In those days, and in that time, says the ever-living one, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah, with continual weeping. Yes, they're going to repent of their sins and their blindness. And they shall come and seek the Eternal their God and ask the way to Zion and say, come and let us join ourselves to the Eternal in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Yes, a great covenant with these people. And what a blessing it's going to bring, as we shall see. Notice over here in verse 20. In those days and in that time, says the Eternal, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. And as they come back weeping and repenting, he will certainly clean them up, fashion and mold them, and help their lives to be right and good once again. Notice now chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He's not indulging in vain repetition. The Jews and the Israelites are two separate peoples. And that's what all of us need to understand. That's why most of the prophetic preachers and writers don't understand prophecy. They don't understand the vital key to prophecy, the identity of the so-called lost 10 tribes and who we are. He says, I'm going to make a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I brought them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel, the whole house, all 12 tribes. After those days, when Christ comes back, I will put my law. Here it is. The basis of the whole new covenant is the law of God. Do you think that Jeremiah didn't understand the law of God? He didn't hear all kinds of sermons saying the law of God's been done away. The law of God's a harsh thing. It's a burden. Oh, no. He understood it was the Ten Commandments, the law of love. And he was inspired by God to say that this law is the very basis of the new covenant. My law I will put in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. and God will bless and bless and bless his people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they'll all know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. No, they'll have the law of love written in their hearts and minds and inward parts. They will love and worship and adore the great God who's made every good and every beautiful thing. They will love their neighbor as themselves, and that love will flow out over the whole earth, giving a type of joy and peace and warmth and a family spirit that this world as a whole has never experienced. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61 now. Isaiah chapter 61, and here is a prophecy you find referred to directly at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as recorded in the book of Luke. Christ preached part of this, and he stopped, as I'll explain, right here in the early verses, because part of it was partly fulfilled then, but it goes right on, as there's a type and antitype and prophecy through the whole Bible. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Yes, he's talking about the coming Messiah, to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, which Jesus did do to a limited extent at his first coming, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, well, he said, proclaim liberty, but who are the captives? They didn't have captives. So Jesus stopped quoting right here. He stopped quoting because he partly fulfilled this then, when in his first coming 2,000 years ago, but he will finish this when he comes again the second time. And those of us who believe the Bible and those of us who believe in the great God, the reality of that God, will help him as kings and priests under Christ in tomorrow's world, teaching this whole way of life. So he said, I will proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where Christ stopped preaching, right there in the book of Luke. Yes, he preached, and he showed that he had come, and of course at that time partly fulfilled this. But then the prophecy reads right on. It reads right on. And the day of vengeance of our God. Oh, that verse even talks right again about the time God intervenes and punishes and wakes people up to comfort all who mourn. Yes, God's going to bring us back, our nations back from this coming slavery, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. His people are going to be blessed and blessed at that time. And all of you who are willing to believe the genuine good news are going to be blessed in tomorrow's world. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. Those who are in the first resurrection will assist Christ in ruling. But those young people or others who may live on over, if they obey God and learn this way of life, are going to be very, very greatly blessed, even in physical ways. They will raise up former desolations, repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. God greatly blesses his people. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. God will give back double what we have had. Think about that. Double the blessings we have ever had. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So this is a tremendous statement when you think about it. Everlasting joy. This is a vital part of the true gospel, my friends, the real good news of tomorrow's world and what it's all about. Again, be sure to call or write today requesting your free copy of our most inspiring booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. This booklet explains the wonderful opportunities we'll have in tomorrow's world. How God Intervenes in World Affairs makes clear what tomorrow's world will be like. You'll love to share this booklet with the young people in your life. So call now and request your free copy, absolutely free and without obligation, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. Just ask for the booklet on God's intervention.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, if any of you would like to make contact with the work behind this program, or if you would like personal counsel or help in understanding the Bible, asking information about Bible questions, or meeting with others who believe the truth, just call the toll-free number listed on the screen. Call that number right now. Tell the operator you would like to request personal counsel. Then give the operator your name, phone number, or address very slowly and carefully so there'll be no mistake. Then one of our ministers or trained representatives will call you and make an appointment at your convenience. No one will try to bother you or urge you to join or do anything. That's a promise. But you will have an opportunity to ask Bible questions or to find out more about this work of God if you are interested. Again, be sure to call and request your free copy of our inspiring booklet, How God Intervenes in World Affairs. And tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program, because on this program, as you know, you gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwin, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.